Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini Guy Mike. We're going to have a rotating cast of characters here today. Thankfully, we have Kedrick Prince, Director of Recruiting, who's keeping a keen eye on what was going on in Champaign today. The first half was a little bit concerning, but it was nice to see the Illini take control in the third quarter and close the game out strong with no fourth quarter collapse. Ked, what did you think about the game after your chance to sit down and watch the Illini this weekend?
Well, today I have to give, you know, if I'm going to give game balls out today, you know, I have to give a game ball out to, you know, Mr. Chase Brown. He was amazing. And I'm going to tell you, he was great to watch. Illinois was the more physical team up front. But I'm going to cut the game ball in half and give it, the other piece of the game ball to defensive coordinator Ryan Walters. They didn't give up a point the second half. And for the third consecutive week, he has done an outstanding job. And he has made adjustments. They gave up 14 first half points and then give up another point on, you know, the rest of the game. So it's a win that they should have won. You know, they were favored to win by 10-11. And, you know, the comment I liked about Coach Bielema after the game, you respect every opponent, but he didn't come to Illinois to win games like this. You're supposed to win games. He came to win Big Ten games and Big Ten titles. So, you know, you never apologize for a win. How, you know, you take it for what it's worth, but Illinois should have won today.
Yeah, in the last 3 weeks, Illinois has given up 20 points, 13 points, and 14 points. That's a throwback to the 80s. And this is, or the 90s, you know, with Kevin Hardy and that group. But this, if you would have told me those 3 point totals, I would have told you they went 3-0 in those games. And boy, this is a heck. Ryan Walter, I mean, you talk about a guy who is kicking butt. And it was really nice to see that interception by Keith Randolph today.
Yes, this team's, you know, it's really weird because I thought coming into it, because Lovie Smith's boys and his team has consistently given up 50 and 60 points a game. And I thought they'd be behind the eight ball. But you talk about a young coach who's making an adjustment. You know, if he continues to do this through the rest of the Big Ten season, they're going to have a hard time keeping him around in a couple of years because he has proven that he can make adjustments. He's putting kids in the right position. And as I mentioned last week, you know, you look at the game, there's more to it than just the scoreboard. The techniques of the tackling is so much better now than what it has been. So I can appreciate that part of it. And we've talked about this before, which, you know, we know is going to be an issue, you know, for the rest of the season probably. You know, the defense has done its job, but you got to score points, Mike. You can't sit there in the Big Ten and expect to score 14 to 15 points every week and win. Some games it's going to be that way. You just have to win the games that you can win and put yourself in a position to win those games. But week in and week out, all the teams, everybody in college football can score points.
Yeah, and it was it's something where you could see in a couple of years, Josh Whitman may be forced to – use his Orlando Antigua strategy and, you know, put out the big dollars to keep Ryan around in Champaign if he keeps up at the rate that he's going right now. And I got to be honest with you, if you take a look at what that defense did last year versus the way they're playing right now, if I'm a prospective high school player, you know, maybe I would go to Ohio State or Alabama where I can sit on the bench for a year or two. Or I could go to Illinois where I've got a guy like this who's obviously able to game plan very well, and I can get on the field tomorrow and start making an impact on day one. I got to be honest with you. I know there's not a lot of five stars looking at Illinois right now, but if I'm a highly rated defensive player and I can get on the field right away and I think I've got a coach who can make me look good by what he's doing with his schemes, I'm right there. And if I don't have to wait a year or two, then that'd be fantastic.
Mike, you know what's tough is that you and I are old dinosaurs, man, because that's the way you would think anybody with common sense would think. Why go somewhere and sit for 3 years and then hopefully get to play your senior year? It makes no sense to me. I mean, I would much rather go to a program where I can help build it, where I can play. I could be influential, but some of these kids would much rather just go sit because, say, you went to Alabama. You know, my niece went to Alabama 3 years ago on a basketball scholarship, and she didn't like it. She was fascinated with the fact that it was a big time. It was a big time program, so therefore she went there, and then she ended up transferring out. So, I mean, some of these kids will eventually figure it out. I mean, if you got the right coach that can sell recruiting, and I'll tell you from a football standpoint, anybody that's ever talked to Aaron Henry, you know, the football coach, assistant coach at Illinois who played for Brett Bielema, how could you ever tell a guy like that no, that you don't want to play for him? He's an outstanding communicator. He's really, really good at his job. I just think right now, if they're going to continue to build, this is going to be a recruiting thing. And everybody in the country knows. I mean, you listen to them, you know, they have to have a quarterback. If they don't get a quarterback, this won't work. When you're hearing the guy, you know, the play-by-play guy today, he was negative, but he was professionally negative, if that makes any sense. He missed so many receivers today, and it's costing them. And I'll say this, you know, Brett Bielema made the comment today. He knows that they're just throwing the ball down the field to be throwing it. They're not converting anything, and that has to change if they're going to take the next step forward, because they just can't be launching it, because they have not, you know, done anything with those except for, hey, I'm going to try to keep the defense honest, and then two plays later, they forget about it.
Yep, no, that's a good point. Just wanted to let you folks know that I told you we would have a squad of Illini guy coverage here, and we're now being joined by Matt Stevens, who is our staff writer and beat reporter who covers Illini football. And we also have a surprisingly well-shaven Brad Sturdy, who is our man about town, who has been covering all sorts of basketball and football things for the Illini. So I know, guys, it's been a long day for you. So maybe we'll keep this to maybe a rapid fire, you know, a couple, 3 points and get on to the next guy. But Matt, what are your takeaways after this victory that saw the Illini really kind of put the handcuffs on Charlotte in the second half and explain to them that this is our house?
Yeah, I think there's the one thing that stands out at me, and what I'm going to write for you guys on the front of Illini guys, is that there's a major difference between this roster when you're starting running back, you're starting pass rusher, defensive tackle, Keith Randolph, and, you know, you're starting tight end, Daniel Barker, are healthy. You know, Daniel Barker catches a touchdown pass. Chase Caden goes for 257 yards. Chase Brown goes for 257 yards, and Keith Randolph gets an interception and some pass, some quarterback hurries, and was real big in, you know, on that side of the ball, turning this into what I thought was bully ball. This is Bielema bully ball, and no better way to do that than have somebody go for 200 and then have another guy go for almost 100. And I feel like this was the way that Illinois had to win the football game, because Charlotte's one of the worst teams in the country at defending the run. And this team's going to sell itself today, tomorrow, and in the future on being able to turn and hand it to a tailback and run the ball. So I feel like that's kind of what they wanted to do today and did today. I know that Bielema is not thrilled about the fact that, you know, people are potentially jacked up about a win for the first time in 30 plus days, but this is what he'd like to do against Big Ten teams. This is what he'd like to do in his 6-year contract at Illinois. So you've got that.
Yep. Today. So, and as a optimistic Illini fan, I'm seeing people take your one evening tonight to write down a W for Wisconsin, a W for Minnesota, and a W for Northwestern. Do that tonight. And then tomorrow morning, let's just hit reality again and we'll just play the games and see what happens. Brad, you were there as well today. What were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I agree with Matt. I think the defense was very good. I think they did a good job. They ran the football, which is what they were planning on doing. And, you know, I would like to see them use Daniel Barker today, but I'd like to see him use him more. And I'd like to see, you know, I thought there was Chase, obviously him being healthy, make impact. Keith Randolph being back makes an impact. But I've been really impressed with what Ryan Walters has done with the defensive group and how he's been able to make this a competitive defensive team, and against everybody. It's not just against, you know, Charlotte. It's been, he's allowed this team, he's made adjustments and personnel changes to allow them to compete in these games. And, you know, I you know, Brett Bielema said he'd like to, he wants to do this against Big Ten teams, and I would like to see that as well. I can handle a 24-14 win where we don't have to decide whether to go for it on 4th-and-2 in the fourth quarter. And but we went for it on 4th-and-3 today. So I guess it all depends on the situation.
Well, and the good thing is at least he kept it, you know, whether anybody wants to admit it or not, he can adapt. And we don't have to admit it. We'll just look the other way and pretend like it didn't happen, but he can adapt. So what do we do about the quarterback situation? I mean, I'm not complaining that about Brandon Peters, you know, doing anything under his control that causes issues, but it seems to be clear that it's going to be awfully hard to run any type of offense. The only thing is the Mertz guy up at Wisconsin might be just as frustrating to Wisconsin fans.
But is there possible, Mike? I'm sorry. I don't know if that's even possible. And unless you're going to go to a yard sale and get a quarterback, this is the best you're going to get. I mean, I feel bad because he's a kid, but it's just not the answer. And this isn't a Kedrick thing. This is a national thing. Other people are being politically correct. He misses so many guys. And like today, I would tell anybody, if you don't want to trust me, Mike, Matthew, or Brad, or Larry, or whoever, you had a guy call a game today who flat out just said he makes so many mistakes and he's missing people and it's killing the team offensively. It is what it is. And if they don't change it and tell him, because I think one time he made the comment, just throw it. Believe in yourself that you can do it. Because realistically, he has the talent. He does have a good arm. He really does have a good arm. I just think it's upstairs with him.
Yeah. Matt?
You want me to tell you what they're going to do? Because what they're going to do is
start him next week.
Just try to get him there again. I mean, like, at this point, I almost think Bielema is doing it because this is the best I got. What do you want me to do? And from that standpoint, you know, I sat there with Sturdy today, and I think he'll agree with me when I say this. I thought Tony Peterson schemed it up really well today. I really did. I really thought what they did in the run game, what they've done with this offensive line that's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but what they've done with this running game over the last, I would say, two and a half, three weeks has been really impressive to me from a scheme standpoint.
And they've had wide receivers and tight ends who have been open.
Yes.
They just haven't been able to get the ball.
And then, you know, it's so, yeah. And also, you know, it's, I'll put it on this. Like, look, Brandon's not somebody that you're going to win. It's not getting back to Indianapolis with Brandon Peters at quarterback. Let's just be honest about it. I think we all knew that. The fact of the matter is, though, this is the worst wide receiver unit in the Big Ten, too. And there are balls that they've got to go get. I'm sorry, but they've got to go get. And Brett said it, or Bielema said it today. I mean, the idea of, you know, I don't know, like, did he have one drop, two drops? Luke Ford's got to catch those passes. And when he doesn't, you lose faith in the dude. And you know, Deuce Span's got to go up and get that football on a deep ball. He cannot wait for it to come to him. And it's those are things that have got to be taught, and they've got to be put into wide receivers' mentality before anybody at quarterback becomes what you want them to become. And so I will give Tony Peterson a lot of credit that I think they know their quarterback has a confidence problem in terms of accuracy right now, and they're scheming it up the best they can to get points in order to be competitive in the last three games that they played. And that's honestly – that's my honest assessment of the offense. I don't think that they're going to compete with the big boys of the Big Ten with what they have deficiency-wise on offense, but I want to give Tony Peterson a lot of credit for scheming it up really well these last couple of weeks and giving Illinois a chance, especially in the run game, to put points on the board and to move the chains. I think they've done an extremely good job with Chase Brown healthy and Josh McCray healthy to be able to do that.
Well, I've watched a lot of TV, and I think that in a lot of sitcoms, they use hypnosis to make people better at stuff. So I'm going to propose that somewhere on campus, there's some sort of PhD guy who knows how to hypnotize people and maybe we can make Brandon think that he's Tom Brady. And then next week we'll come out and boy, that offense will be really, really good. Won't help the issue with the lack of separation, but we'll thread a few more needles because he proved he could do it with that pass to Barker for the touchdown. I mean, that was a thing of like, he could throw that 1,000 times and most of the time somebody's going to tip that ball. Didn't happen. Brad, you got anything you can add to this that might have some sort of legitimate value? Because I'm pretty much out of it.
No, I agree with that. Matt and I talked about that while we were sitting there about, you know, what a great – I think Tony Peterson did a really good job scheming with what he has. The one thing I'll add, and Matt and I – the one thing that people on TV, if you're watching, and even sometimes on the sideline, you can't see it as well. When we're upstairs, you see all the missed open guys. And I'm telling you, there were so many plays today when maybe it was Isaiah. And there was at least three times where Isaiah Williams was open and probably could have walked in for a touchdown if he just shot-footed the ball out towards him. I mean,
Brad,
they didn't have to make a throw.
Brad, sorry to cut you off. Brad, listen, today on the telecast, what you said was a quote. Exactly what he said. He counted three times that Isaiah Williams was open that he missed. Sorry about that, but you're exactly right. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and that's that. But that's what you see up in the press box. You can see that the space, and you see that, and that's what we noticed. And there were also times there was time when Barker was open once, and we threw it to the opposite side, and there's just a lot of openings. It's not always the pass. Now I totally agree with Matt. He threw a couple balls exactly where they had to be thrown, and receivers didn't go make a play. And, yeah, he was short on one deep ball when he had a step, but he also threw a really good deep ball that, you know, you saw the Charlotte receivers go up and get and against man coverage. So there are some things. It's a combination. But you need better receivers and a better quarterback, because I really think if you had a really good quarterback and a couple of really good receivers – then this suddenly your offense would look pretty good, because you hit a big play and now it's easier to run the ball. And this offense would look pretty good. These running backs, I mean, obviously they ran for a lot of yards, but you would have, I think you'd be much better on offense if you could just complete those passes and have that quarterback and a couple of receivers. So I don't know that offensively, I know what, you know, it's not fun to watch all the time, but they're not that far away. And if you had a really good, you had a good quarterback and a couple good receivers, you're probably 5-1 right now.
Yeah, and a public service announcement here for any college recruit or any high school football coach who has a quarterback who's really, really good that you would like to get to play next season, the Illini are available and willing to talk. on a second thing, Brad, when we talk about two wide receivers and a quarterback away, that's pretty much been the Chicago Bears for my lifetime. but I know you're an undefeated Raider fan, so I get that. But I had to throw that out there.
I would love to have. I'll take Kenny Stabler, Fred Blitnikoff, and Cliff Branch. We'll go. For a tight end.
You know, guys, from an X's and O's standpoint, when you talk about Brandon today, I wonder because Bielema said it after the game just a couple of minutes ago. That he was really aggressive with Brandon this week in practice. And I think one of the reporters even asked, what does really aggressive mean? And I kind of envision he Bobby Knighted it in practice with Brandon. And, like, I think he just chewed his butt the entire week. And what I think happened today, and I'd have to go back and look at the film, it's something I think I'll put in my film review this coming week. I really think the mentality or that was basically impressed into Brandon today was, Brandon, the ball's got to come out. Because we saw a lot where the first read wasn't open and he just forced it into that guy.
Yeah.
Like Brad and I were watching that if he option pitches it to Isaiah Williams near on the far side.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's a touchdown. But I think that Brandon goes, I can't go through my progression this week because the ball's got to come out. Because 2 weeks ago he did that and it was six sacks. Like, you know, and he did that in the first possession against Purdue and George Karloftis is ready to sit on his head. Like, so I think they've impressed with him. Okay, when your back foot hits the ground, the ball's got to come out. And I think Brandon would like to look over the field and find and do what he's done earlier. But now he's hanging on to the ball too long, and now you're taking sacks. And I think they've really impressed with him Brandon, you cannot take sacks. I don't think he took one today. But I think the compound problem there is, okay, the ball came out, but it didn't go to the guy. You didn't make the right read. So, you know, Bielema talked about baby steps today. Well, all you can do with your quarterback right now is take baby steps. And if the ball's coming out and you're not taking negative plays, and the worst thing that happens is an incomplete pass, people are going to get mad when I say this, but that's kind of progress because you're not going backwards. Like you're basically, so I think this offense is not going to be anywhere in the vicinity of perfect with Brandon Peters. But I do think this coaching staff is insistent on working with him because the arm talent is just the best on the roster, period. Yep.
Okay. So let's go through, we're going to go through real quick with each of you, wrap up on the football stuff. And then I want to talk with Brad and Ked a little bit about some visitors today. So Ked, your final thoughts on this, still a pretty impressive victory over Charlotte.
I'm going to end my thoughts of what I said to begin with. You know, the running game was awesome today. Tony Peterson didn't have a choice but to run the football today because we knew that Charlotte couldn't stop the run. I don't know if that's a game plan. I think that's just being smart and being an adult to run the ball down their throat when they couldn't stop it. I will say this. We could beat a dead horse to death. The offense may be better if they had a different quarterback. My game ball goes to the running game and also to Coach Walters. Just the adjustments that he has made over the last few weeks. They've been blown. They've given up 40-some points once. I just cannot believe how the changes that he's made with some of the same players that Lovie Smith had last year. He, to me, is like, if there's a coach that's on that staff that's been impressive, it's definitely him.
Okay, yeah, and I will say Owen Carney's two sacks in a row, all I could think of is they were kung fu fighting, that song, because his use of his hands on those two plays to just get rid of a defensive line or offensive lineman was impressive. And then, you know, the quarterback he really didn't get into just kind of grabbed him and brought him down. So was a masterful use of some techniques there. Matt, what are your final thoughts on the game today?
I think a fully healthy Chase Brown makes this roster look a heck of a lot better, especially if Brett Bielema is your head coach. I think that there's a lot of progress being made on defense, again, because guys like Keith Randolph are getting back to fully 100% health. And guys like Johnny Newton are getting better. Guys like Owen Carney are freed up to do what they do best and not what they're put in positions to do. And I understand, guys, this is 2 weeks now where they haven't had Jake Hansen, and I think the middle of the field looked pretty good. Kalon Tolson and Tyreek Barnes. So, and finally, I'll just say this. I really am impressed by the idea that Brett Bielema doesn't want people doing cartwheels today. And I think that that's leadership. That's what you want out of this football, out of this football program. You want to expect to beat a team like Charlotte. You want to expect to beat a team like Nebraska at home. And nobody's doing cartwheels in that building to my left right now, the Smith Center, because they won a football game today. And that's going to translate into guys understanding winning behavior. We've talked about it a lot. And a lot of these guys, I don't think, have that ingrained in them. And it's going to happen. But I do believe that. But I do think there are deficiencies on this football team. But you needed to play Brett Bielema bully ball today, and they did for 300-plus yards and got a victory today. And I think that they can build on that.
Good. Brad, from a football standpoint, what is any final thoughts or anything that comes to you as you're heading back?
Yeah, I think this was a game they had to win. It's a game they won. So you kind of move on to the next one. I will say next, you know, you look at the schedule, and I really look at this season now as a little bit of a missed opportunity, because next week against Wisconsin, that game will be over in like 2 hours because both teams are just going to the clock every time they get it, and they're just going to run it. And kind of crazy, but no, I think that Wisconsin doesn't look very good. Northwestern doesn't look very good. Minnesota is beatable. You throw in, you know, the fact that Rutgers is one of the toughest games you have left. And, you know, obviously Iowa and Penn State are good, I think. And yep. Everybody on the schedule is like, you know, they're games you can win. And so you feel like you'd have stolen, you know, you won a couple of these close games early on, you're right there in bowl contention. And so, but I think they did what they needed to do today, and I agree with what the other Some of the cuts he made are cuts that nobody else on – no other running back they have can make. Not that they're not good, but they're just plays that he can make that other guys can't.
Yep. Okay, so now let's go to what a lot of people are wanting to hear about. We heard there's some visitors, and to me, there are two teams in Illinois that just have an incredible amount of talent in their schools, and we had one of them on having some guys there today. Brad, you want to give me give the fans here a little idea of just the type of firepower that came down to watch Illinois and also maybe talk a little basketball?
Yeah, and, you know, it's they had five guys on campus today. Four of them are from the class of 2024. All five guys play with the Mean Streets program. Of course, Tim Anderson has great ties with the Mean Streets program. You know, the big names, of course, James Brown, who has switched to Mean Streets. He's from Chicago St. Rita. They have three 2024 kids who are probably three of the top four 2024 kids in the state of Illinois at the same school. Much like Kenwood has all those top 2023 kids.
Yep.
They read it, 2024 is loaded. But James Brown, Morez Johnson, and Jaden Reyna are three guys at St. Rita in 2024 who are guys to watch. James Brown's a post player. He was 6'8", 6'9", and he wears a size 18 shoe, so he's got some grow in him. And then Morez Johnson, who is a 6'7", 6'8", forward, who actually he's one of my favorite players. I really like his upside and potential down the road. Jake Reyna is a true, he's a 6-foot point guard, but man, this dude, because he can shoot it. He's got a great feel. He loved it. And those three guys, I'll tell you this, they were at practice this morning. They went to practice 8 a.m., and those three guys watched practice. Those guys are like students of the game, too. It's really impressive to the way that they just watch and take things in. So it's really impressive. And then, of course, they had another 2024 kid, and I'm gonna default to you reading that name because it's a Lithuanian. His family, it's a Lithuanian name. He goes to Lamont, 6'5". He's a wing, and he's one of the top players. Actually, Illinois feels like he might be even down the road because he's still growing too. He could be maybe the best potential player in that class of 2024. And then another kid, Robert Barron, who's also a Chicago kid, who was down, and he goes to St. Ignatius, and he's a 2023, 6'5", really strong-bodied wing in 2023. So five really good players on campus, and Illinois, made a good impression. Those kids got to watch campus, got to go on a little campus tour, see the campus. Most of them hadn't been down before, obviously, with no visits for the past 18 months, basically. And then they got to go a little bit of the football game and kind of make a day of it. So those guys were there, and they came down from Chicago, were there bright and early at 8 in the morning.
Wow, that's fantastic. So not only were they bright and early at 8 in the morning, which means they're probably up at 5, but to be engaged in practice like that, as a high school student, instead of just playing your typical grab ass that you would expect a teenager to do, that's fantastic. Kedrick, you're obviously familiar with a lot of these players and as out there doing your scouting. Any thoughts on any of these young gentlemen?
I think the most important thing that we can take away from the visit today with these kids is the fact that they were on campus and that most of the kids are in the class of 24. You and I talked off air, St. Rita and Kenwood are just going to be dynamite teams to watch this year play basketball in the state of Illinois. But to get these kids on campus to Illinois, the product that they're selling right now, I think, is their practices. For the last 2-3 weeks in a row when they've had kids on campus, the kids that I talk to and the kids that Brad talked to, they come away with, they're in awe with the talent level and how structured the practice is. One of the things I talked to yesterday during basketball media day to Coach Frazier and Coach Anderson was Brad Underwood being detailed and how structured they are. And he pays attention to little things. And, And I think these high school coaches, I think the kids can see that. You know, losing to Loyola last year was it stung a little bit. I think if they would have had another opponent, it probably would have been a different outcome. But now, that's the one thing I think that they're missing. They need a deep run in the tournament. And I think some of these kids that we talk about that are highly touted kids that you know are just going to be good, like James Brown and, you know, and the Arena kid, those kids are going to want to be here like at other schools. So they need a good run, continue to get these kids on campus as much as possible, have them interact with other kids. And I think you're going to start seeing earlier commitments than the latter.
Yeah, and I will tell you what, even when I think of, and you know, if for anybody listening out there, you go watch J.J. Taylor from Kenwood and Mac Irvin Fire. If you watch that guy play, you really learn what an NBA player looks like, because when you watch him play, he just plays like an NBA player. There's no other way to describe it other than to watch the video. And when I look at a kid like that, who could probably go play, you know, in the G League or somewhere like that, I look at a guy like that and I think with the NIL abilities, and especially with Illinois having so many alumni in Chicago, come down to Illinois for a year, you learn the game from a guy who's going to teach you the small details, which is, you know, Underwood. And you're also going to get, you know, advertising and marketing that only the NCAA can do for you by having that tournament and by having the Big Ten on, you know, every, you know, twice a week and people tuning in to see it. If you go 1 year and then you go pro, after playing in an Illinois, boy, you talk about a kid who can get drafted in the NBA and the marketing can start on day one. That to me is where the NCAA has a huge advantage over these, what I call minor league professional programs, is you take a look at Zion Williamson from the middle of nowhere, South Carolina, and playing on a top five team all season long. He was a household name in 9 months, and people forget he wasn't even the consensus number one player that year. And you take a guy like J.J. Taylor with that wonderful smile and his ability to communicate with people one-on-one, you put him in a program like Illinois, which is a top five program week in and week out, and his marketing dollars are going to be phenomenal. That's, you know, that's the type of guy who maybe gets a shoe deal early in his career versus not. And we all know there's a few players in the NBA who actually make as much money or more money from their shoe deals than they do from the NBA, which is pretty amazing.
I'll tell you what, I've been around for a long time, and the two best high school players that I've seen in person, not saying that they were the best high school players in the state of Illinois, was Kevin Garnett, who obviously transferred in, and Frank Williams. And yep. I'm going to tell you, I can honestly tell you, when I see J.J. Taylor play, I see some Kevin Garnett. The game is so easy for him, and he plays hard. He's not one of those guys. Like, I went saw Derrick Rose play a couple times and was thoroughly disappointed, even though he was a great player. J.J. is just different, and he can do things with the basketball at his size. You're right. He's probably going to be a great NBA prospect at some point in time. But he's a must-get kid for anybody. And I know a lot of the Blue Bloods have been up to Chicago to see him play. But I just really, really like his game. And I can say it to you, for me, I've seen a lot of high school kids play, and I put him in my top four or five without a doubt as far as kids I've seen play in person.
Yeah, he's up there for me with Ben Wilson, that level of player. Brad, any closing thoughts here?
Liberty. Oh, forgetting Liberty. Liberty was fantastic. Kevin Garnett was fantastic too. I'd agree with those. Those guys are great high school players in Illinois. There was a guy who was pretty good named Anthony Davis too, not that long ago, even though he played at a really bad school. So there you go.
Yeah.
I had a funny story about him. When my son was in ninth grade, he played with Chase Randall and a bunch of guys who went to a tournament in Chicago. And we just ate Anthony Davis alive. We didn't know who he was. And then 1 year, he grew like 5 or 6 inches and became just a stud. And I laugh. Anybody who mentions his name to me, I tell the story, because he was just – when he was younger, he was not the player that people thought he was going to be. But I just, when I hear his name, I think, man, I remember going against a kid like this, and what a couple, you know, difference a couple of years will make and size will make on a kid.
Yeah, it is really hard to guess what a guy's going to develop. You see a freshman, and you know, but when they put on the size, it's just amazing. So with that, folks, we are going to let you go, but we will tell you, please go ahead and listen to the Eye on the Illini. We have that coming out, you know, a couple times a week. We also have Ked's Recruiting Corner that comes out regularly. Be looking for that, a recruiting roundup, which will be coming out. Please look for that. Sturdy for 30, obviously, that's our main line program that draws in all the girls. We got tons of people who are listening to that. It's our number one program. And if you are listening to the radio on the weekends, look for the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. It's out there. Check your radio listing on the IlliniGuys.com to see where, when and where it's on. Or you can download the podcast from your favorite podcast purveyor. The episode for this weekend is there waiting for you to listen to right now. And the other thing I would ask is, if you could give us some 5-star ratings, if you feel like we're good enough, that would be very appreciated from us. So with that, this is Mike on the Illini Guys. Thank you so much and have a great week.